You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 24 February. We've got Avenge results due within the hour. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, Sasol results. I mean, they're making money. They're writing down assets. I suppose the question is there value here? Are there better options globally? Or is this just a sector to leave? Nirina Fisser from ETFSA. We've got budget tomorrow. Can we expect increases in either Reg 28 or tax-free contribution limits? And then we're talking with Warren Bass from Private Client Holdings. Managing noise in the market and catching the structural AI trends. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, We Buy Cars decides against entering the new vehicle market, says it does not feel threatened by strong new vehicle sales, particularly of cheaper Chinese models. Business Day, Spar seeks staggered supplier payments amid cash crunch. Email containing request is not a sign of financial distress, the wholesaler says. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 1%, NASDAQ off 1.2%. The East is mostly red, Sydney's down 0.4%. Tokyo, after being closed yesterday, is up 0.75%. Hong Kong, 2% weaker, Tencent, 2.5% down. Commodities are mixed, gold futures, 5,202. Brent, 7,201. On the red side, we got platinum, 2,144. Palladium, 1,794. The rand is 1,601. Bitcoin, 63,600. Top 40 opening call, red open, 650 points, or a little over 0.5% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the early morning time. Sasol, at times Sasol is loved by everyone. At times it's kind of hated by everyone. I'm not sure there's much middle ground. It's had a strong run. It was back, earlier in the year. It was $100. It got to 145. Results yesterday, your thoughts? A lot of moving parts, a lot of write-downs. It is making money, however.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So Sasol has always been a very complex business, and I think the traders look at it as a far more simple business than it actually is, and look at the oil price, look at the currency, and say, oh well, that's how we're going to trade it. But when you drill into Sasol, far more complex business, and I think my impression of the results is that this is a turnaround story at the moment. Ever since the capital markets day last year, where they came and really spoke to the institutional market, the story at Sasol for me is changing. So, looking at results, I mean, obviously there were, significant write-downs, basically wiped out their basic earnings per share. Headline earnings per share still down around 34%. Mm. But, that in line, not to sound like a trader, but that in line with the much stronger currency, also lower average oil price. So their average oil price went from $77.44 per barrel down to $66.38 per barrel. The currency we came into at this time last year, at reporting period last year, we were 1887. This year, 1657. So obviously, big move in the currency as well. And that's going to affect the rand oil price basket. In their chemicals businesses, not as much of a write-down. So average chemical prices in Africa down 5%. International average chemical prices down 3%, according to them. So not as much of a hit there. But, like I said, it's not really kitchen sinking because, there were $7.9 billion in impairments, mainly, the Secunda Liquid Fuels Refinery and the gas development projects in Mozambique. But, for the first time in 4 years, generating, positive free cash flow. So this is turning around. And I think management is building credibility with the institutional market. And I think that's why, even though we have seen these big impairments, it's rising. I mean, the stock price, as you said, was 100 a little while ago. We had a spec buy on it. It's complex and risky proposition, but yeah, I think the market is starting to like what it's hearing.
And certainly, I take your point. And I mean, I'm looking at the energy ETF, the XLE, which has had an equally good run from $46 to $55 sort of so far this year. I mean, is energy back on the radar for 2026 after not doing much for a couple of years?
Well, it's an interesting and complex environment. so if you look at it, yeah, definitely, 2026 has been a fantastic year for all the energy companies. So if you look at the S&P 500, oil and gas sector, just about every, I think there's only one company that's not positive for the year. Mm. We've got Brent crude oil prices at 72. If you look at kind of best of S&P 500, Texas Pacific Land Corp up 75%, Baker Hughes up 40%, SLB that we hold, which is the old, it's a new name for Schlumberger, that up 34%. Those are the top three. But like I said, across the board, oil and gas companies are rising. Sasol up 32% year to date. so it is a sector that's definitely getting a little bit of love. I mean, Sasol specifically, if you look at them, far cheaper. If you look can't really look in the PE terms because they've just wiped out their basic earnings per share. But in price to sales, there are a lot cheaper than the international components. But again, it's an interesting world. We've got, the US saying drill, baby, drill, which means that's going to, we're going to have lower oil prices because we want more supply if we follow in kind of American thinking. But it also means that there's less pressure on carbon emissions, which are obviously critical for these companies. So, yeah, it's also a world in which we've got an electric fleet that will globalize at some point, and that's going to take out some demand. But at the same time, you might have supply shocks, out of Iran. So again, a complex environment. Sasol not particularly expensive in it, but I think just approach with caution.
Approach with caution. That's probably, I think, the caveat. We'll leave it there. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, approaching with caution. Appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Nerina Fisser, Director at ETFSA. Nerina, always appreciate the early morning time. Tomorrow is budget. The minister will take money out of our pocket all over the place, levies and increases and everything else. Some spaces he might give us money back. Let's start with tax-free. We've got two limits there. The annual limit of 36,000, it's been unchanged for 5 years. Do you think the minister could give us a small jump? I know Old Mutual's saying, make it 40,000, please, Mr. Minister.
Morning, Simon. I certainly do hope he would do this. It was introduced 11 years ago at an annual limit of 30,000. We were there for 2 years. It then increased to 33 for another 3 years. And it's now been 6 years at 36,000. Come on, we can do this. Personally, the numerologist just in me doesn't quite like the number 40 for the simple reason that it's not
divisible.
Divisible by 12. I certainly would like to see something that that really allows people to do that regular monthly contribution. Yeah. So, but 42 is too low. I'd say, come on, let's go for 48 or 60,000. That certainly would be a really nice boost.
100%. 60 would be epic. And the key thing with this is it doesn't cost the minister anything because this is post-tax money. It'll cost him one day when we take the money out, but there will be no hit to Treasury for the 26-27 fiscal year.
Yeah. So, Simon, the only immediate hit in the current fiscal year would be the lack of the dividend withholding tax and tax on interest. So those do accrue in the current year, but those are relatively small amounts, and it certainly is not going to dent the fiscus if they allow that. And I think a lot more important is that it creates an environment where people are incentivized to save, to invest, to grow their own personal assets, so that in future, at that later date, they are less dependent on the state. The statistics around savings rates in South Africa remain shockingly low. and a relatively small proportion of people who actually have, never mind enough in retirement, but even any form of retirement savings, is really quite alarming. And those all end up ultimately, sort of to be taken care of by the state. Yeah. We have more people in South Africa getting grants than there are taxpayers. So from that perspective, so if I was to put on my finance minister hat, I would look at that and say, let me incentivize people and see if we can actually reduce that dependency on grants by actually allowing us a relatively modest increase in this tax-free savings limit every year.
Yeah, I take your point on that. Lifetime limits, it's been 500,000 since day one. I mean, that's a bit moot because we're not yet nudging up against it, but we're going to be there in a few years' time. 2-3 years, we're at the 500,000. And as someone pointed out to me over the weekend, you know what, there's been inflation since it was introduced in 2015. Does that ever change, or does the minister say that 500,000 is all you're going to get?
You know what, Simon, if we look to the British example, because we got these tax-free savings accounts originally from a similar, the ISA, the individual savings accounts that they have in the UK. And it was introduced very much in a similar basis, relatively modest annual limits, relatively modest annual lifetime contribution limits. And these have also been increased quite dramatically. Currently in the UK, that sits at £20,000 per year. For many people, that's even beyond what they could reasonably sort of be expected to invest. So I do think increasing the annual contribution is important. The lifetime one, I think, is more of a psychological sort of limit. I often hear people sort of say, oh, no, let me not do too much because I'm going to go over my lifetime limit. And you're right. It is a moot point because we know we're near it and we can't reach it until our annual allowance actually allows us to get there. But, you know, it's going to make absolutely zero difference to the fiscus if he was to increase that to, say, R1 million as a lifetime limit. But it would create a psychological boost in terms of, wow, there's so much more that I can do in this space.
And to other point, and of course, take pressure off Treasury when it comes to retirement time. Regulation 28 limits there at 27.5% or 350,000, lesser of whichever it is. But here, this does reduce tax receipts. It has unchanged is it unchanged in a decade? And I'm thinking we're not going to see a tweak here.
Probably not. You know, where we did see a tweak in recent years was when you retire from your retirement savings, that the tax-free portion was increased by 10% from 500 to 550,000, and with some increases in the bands around that as well. So we did see that relief in terms of the contribution limits. Quite right, if they were to tax deductible limits, I should rather say, if they do increase that, that will have a specific impact on the fiscus. So that would not be an area that I would look for or expect relief this time around. I would rather like to see certainly things like, for example, the capital gains tax-free limit, the interest that you can earn, those have not been changed for the longest time. You know, capital gains tax limits were last increased to the current 40,000 in 2016, so 10 years ago. And the interest, my goodness, that dates back to 2013. So the R23,800 of interest that we can earn on which we don't pay tax, that has not been increased. And you're right, inflation is the one aspect, the nominal value of these percentages that we often sort of throw around just means that bracket creep, that inflation creep and so on have not kept up with it. And again, I do think that is something that would give a great message to savers, to investors, and incentivize and encourage to actually just save more for themselves.
Yeah, it's that tax by stealth. We'll leave it there. Nerina Visser, Director, ETFSA, always appreciate the insights. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you think the minister's going to change some limits? Certainly, I would like it. And 60,000, that would be a good number. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Warren Bass, Senior Wealth Manager and Investment Committee Member at Private Client Holdings. Warren, appreciate the time. Political policy disruption, uncertainty. I suppose there's always, you know, it's never perfectly plain sailing. It does seem perhaps it's a little more stressed than it is perhaps normally. How are you and your colleagues looking at this from an investment perspective? I mean, does it fundamentally change what you're doing?
Hi, Simon. You know, I think it's very noisy environment at the moment. I mean, you know, we've sort of having these big changes in the world from this a unipolar world to a multipolar where everyone is really looking after themselves, these the large sort of countries in that. And, you know, the amount of geopolitical risk around has increased substantially. And then throwing on things like AI, which is also making people very nervous about will their children actually have a job in the future, you know? So we are spending a lot of time with clients talking to them about it. But, you know, I think it hasn't fundamentally changed the way we work. I mean, we stick to very long established investment principles. And our job is to be very unemotional about a lot of this and take away the noise and, you know, and make sort of long-term decisions that create value for people. So that hasn't changed.
I want to pick your brain in AI in a moment. Before I do, I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, markets are just noisy. And maybe that's just the point. And we've got to sort of get used to the noise. And yes, the volume will go up and down, but they're never quiet, I suppose.
No, without a doubt. Look, and I think the Trump administration is just up the ante on the noise levels. So, you know, that has made my job very busy, you know, and but entertaining at the same time. So, you know, it's just part and parcel of what we do. And, you know, I think it's you need to be able to speak into your wealth manager or, you know, people that are able to sort of just try and cut some of that out. Otherwise, you know, your stress levels just go through the roof. So that's important to do that.
Yeah, I often say wealth managers are therapists as much as anything else.
Very much feels like it, yeah.
Yeah, talking us off the ledge half the time. Taking it back to AI, I mean, this is a structural trend. It's going to be around forever. To your point, we don't know what jobs will or won't be around, what new ones are going to appear, what existing ones are going to disappear. How are you looking at the AI trend and sort of managing the investment without too much risk in the process?
Yeah, look, I think it's got some exciting elements to it as well. I mean, it could be very good if the efficiencies come through that people are predicting, very good for company earnings, you know, which actually would be good for stock markets. It's quite difficult to tell who are going to be the winners and losers in this whole thing. So, but I think the consensus of a lot of the guys that we work with in that is you don't want to be short these type of things. So you want to be able to participate. But I think position sizing is critical. So, you know, you want to have some participation, but not be potentially overexposed. And yeah, I think it's, you know, good to stick to the businesses that have good cash flows and earnings. So, for example, companies like Alphabet, which is Google and Meta, they have very established businesses currently where something like an OpenAI is not really making money. So, you know, there's different ways you can participate. And then you could also buy ETFs, which is a basket of AI companies, which kind of diversify away that stock-specific risk.
And I like the point. I mean, it is going to be across the board at this point. And I mean, we must remember that, I mean, ChatGPT arrived just over 3 years ago. These are early, early days in the process. Ultimately, AI is going to filter into everything. And I mean, Pepsi Cola is going to be a benefit from it. I mean, it's going to be everywhere. At the moment, perhaps it is more concentrated.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, it's interesting to see some of the movements of the market. The financial stocks sold off recently in the US as, you know, there was news coming out that Claude and they were targeting sort of the financial sector. They're going for these verticals. Yeah. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of volatility as people try and digest what implications they are going to have for businesses and that. So, you know, unfortunately, I think the volatility is actually going to increase. Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned PepsiCo, which is an interesting example. I mean, I think, you know, there's a very good space for companies still in people's portfolios like that, that it would have some benefit from AI. But, you know, the products that they sell and businesses like a consumer discretionary companies like Unilever and that, you know, that's not going to go away. So I think, you know, owning a decent exposure to companies like that is also important nowadays.
And that comes back to, I suppose, almost 101 investing. It's around diversification. It's around time in the market rather than trying to sort of be clever in a sense.
No, without a doubt. I mean, I think now more than ever, it's probably one of the most difficult environments I think myself and other investment professionals have ever managed money in. And so I do think diversification just plays such a key role more so than ever, you know, whether it's in different regions throughout the world, you know, there's some good stories in
emerging markets and countries that benefit from real assets like gold and commodities. So, you know, we have quite a high exposure to emerging markets nowadays. Japan has got a lot going on for it, so regions like that. And then, you know, actually South Africa has been amazing. Yeah. And I still think there's a lot of opportunities here. So a good global diversification is very key. Yes, and also very key to stay invested during times of turbulence. You know, I mean, the stat I always love is, I mean, over the last 25 years in the S&P, I mean, the market's up 7.7% annualized. Yeah. And if you miss the top 10 days, that drops to 4.4% annualized. So it just shows you how important it is to participate in those, you know, in all the days that the market has.
Yeah, and I take the point, I mean, local as well. I mean, my favorite stat is last year, top 40 beat Mag 7. Never had that on my bingo card for 2025. We'll leave it there. That's Warren Bass, Senior Portfolio Manager, Wealth Manager, rather, Investment Committee Member, Private Client Holdings. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Jason Swartz. He from Old Mutual Investment Group. We were talking how last year the surprises were all to the upside. Grey listings and budgets and everything. When we finally got a budget, all to the upside. We asked if you thought it could happen again in 2026. Half said, yep, absolutely. Rest split between, can go either way, or saying, nope, risks definitely to the downside. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchlet, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Impact of dollar weakness.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.